Hey there, you're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from a month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never even heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com or follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Right Column Financial, offering CFO and bookkeeping services for small business, Stanton Electric, a commercial electrical specialist, and Marbury Creative Group, a brand development agency that helps companies tell it better. So let's turn up the volume and enjoy this episode of What the Riff?
A partial meltdown at Detroit's Fermi 1 nuclear reactor. The Black Panther Party is created by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. 116 children and 28 adults died as a coal waste heap slid and engulfed a school in South Wales. This is October 1966, and we're What the Riff. I'm Bruce.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Brian.
And what do we have, Wayne?
I have a few country boys from out in the sticks. The sticks of Andover, England.
So a different country.
Yeah, they're out of Andover, which is about a mile from Stonehenge. And this is part of that British invasion. This is the Troggs.
This does not sound English.
It sort of has that early sound from the Stones or something.
If I didn't know who this was, my first inclination would be to believe that somebody said this is Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah, it sort of has that.
You know, I can hear a Dylan in there.
Yeah, but I can understand the lyrics too well.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's a good point, Bruce.
Well, the song is Hi Hi Hazel. It was a hit in the UK, number 45, but it was not in the US. It's off the album From Nowhere from the Troggs. It's just basically a song about a childhood girl that kind of grew up and went off and came back, and she's just dropped dead gorgeous. And the guy's going, hey, hi, hi, Hazel. Of course, Hazel was not a name for an attractive girl nowadays, but I guess back then it was, you know.
A nanny? Wasn't it a nanny or something?
That's right.
Our apologies for all of you that are named Hazel.
Well, it's sort of an older name, definitely.
There's like some Ruby or, a few names like that. Pearl.
Well, the Troggs are really short for something else. Do you guys know what it is?
Isn't that the troglodytes?
It is. And you know what a troglodyte is?
It's a creature that you run into in the dungeons.
Yeah, or a cave dweller. So they said they wanted this kind of earthy feel, and they wanted this name that sort of, they call it cave rock and roll. And the next song really fits. Really more of a garage rock band. They have that kind of dirty guitar sound. When we play this next song, you'll know, everybody knows the song. And, the Troggs are considered a cult band. But this song right here, if you have not heard this, you have been sleeping under a rock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've heard this. This is a song that everybody knows.
This is a
everybody
frat party song.
Yeah.
If you have a frat party and this song is not played, it's not a frat party.
And it's three chords, very easy to play on a guitar, so I think everybody can do that.
And may I say, at this point, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts did a phenomenal job, in my opinion, on its cover back in the 80s, if you recall that.
Well, you guys remember the band X? They did this song for a movie, Major League.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is played sometimes in sports.
Not my favorite version, though.
Jimi Hendrix did it, actually did a really good job of it. Sam Kinison.
That's my favorite version.
And that video, you got to go see it. Slash, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, Billy Idol, and Tommy Lee are in it. And it is a fun, fun version. Cheap Trick. The Muppets even did this.
Well, let's not forget about the damsel in distress. It's Jessica Hahn.
Yes.
What is that instrument?
It's called a cornerina. I don't know. It's an Eastern instrument dates back thousands of years.
It sounds like the plastic recorders that we would have played in middle school before you get your band instrument.
It does.
I think I learned that in the sixth grade.
I like this the thing. You make everything groovy. You know, this was not written by them. It was written by a guy named Chip Taylor, and he's John Voight's brother.
Really?
Yes, the actor.
Wow.
He wrote the song.
It's a very simple song.
It got banned on radio on several places because it was just, you know, I mean, you're basically telling, hey, Wild Thing. You ever met a Wild Thing?
I have no idea what you're asking.
Never.
They're kind of hard to get away from.
Yeah. It's fun for a little while. I have a friend that was dating a Wild Thing a few months back. And we all looked and going, really? And then we went, they broke up. It goes, oh, okay. They're back together. Oh, okay. Back together. Broke up. Back together. Oh, whatever.
It's all fun and games until the rabbit gets boiled.
They were construction workers, and they first heard this song playing on a transistor radio. You guys remember those?
Oh, yeah.
It was not stereo. It was just on mono.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would have it, and that's when they first heard this song. So, but Wild Thing, yes. This is a song called I Just Sing. And it's a very deep cut, but you can feel that grittiness. It's very bluesy, aggressive, and it has a very good attitude. They're considered being one of the groups that kind of pushed some of the garage rock in the later 60s and then the punk rock of the 70s.
Were they always called the Trogs, or did they start with the Troglodytes?
I think they started with the Troglodytes and then
shortened it to the Trogs.
From what I've read, they were given that name by some hitchhikers they picked up, and just you know, they were just calling them like Bloody Trogs, you know, and they go, oh, that's kind of an interesting. Got rid of the bloody, but we'll keep the Trogs. So. They've been around for over 50 years. They remain a quartet. Really, there's only one person left, Chris Britton, on the guitar. The lead singer, Reg Presley, who changed his name to Presley because he was in a rock group, died of lung cancer in 2012, and he smoked like a demon, so it wasn't surprising.
Hmm.
At this time, Ronnie Bond was on the drums, and Pete Staples was on bass.
That's another little Eastern-sounding instrument.
It is, isn't it?
And that was sort of how they influenced, actually, the Beatles. Paul McCartney actually was asked if he was going to be in another band, what band was it, and he said the Trogs.
Really?
So. They called it was a magical, hectic time to live through, and they were just touring all over the place. It was a weird time for us. It was too fast. It was like landing on the moon for the first time. The flight was incredible, like winning a lottery. But like everybody else, they got screwed over on the royalties. But that was Deep Cut. And this is the other hit song. It went to number 29 in the U.S. And I think it went to number 1 in England. And it is With a Girl Like You.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. This is the second one I recognized when you had it on the list. So.
This was in Flirting with Nicole Kidman not too long ago. So, you know, it's very little more poppy.
Yeah, I was thinking it's a little bit more. It's more upbeat. It's like that sunshine pop type of a sound from the 60s. I didn't expect that.
I would have thought this was Lou Reed.
They have that Lou Reed gravelly kind of sound, don't they?
What I found was interesting is that this song and Wild Thing was recorded in one take, the first take. They had this limited amount of time at a recording studio, and the previous group was already there and left, and they had like 15, 20 minutes. They had to hurry up, run in, and record, so they ran into this one and Wild Thing all in one take.
Well, they're short songs. This is 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
We're back in 1966.
Yes, indeed.
This song is about a guy who wants to dance with a girl. I guess back in the day you'd go ask a girl to dance, but he sees across the floor, but he's too chicken to ask her. So it's one of those type of songs.
Standing by the punch bowl.
I just hope and pray that I'll find a way to say, can I dance with you?
It It does recall some anxiety from those days, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was terrified.
Now, they recorded an album called Athens and Dover, and it was an 11-song collaboration between themselves and R.E.M. Three members of R.E.M. were part of it.
What was that again?
Athens and Dover.
Oh, interesting.
It was released in 92.
Wow. All right. Trogs, man.
Yeah. The Ramones call them a big influence.
I could see that.
Good call.
All right. Well, now we're going to move on already to our entertainment track brought to us by Right Column Financial. And this is from a movie that came out in October of 1966.
The movie was The Nashville Rebel. And it was a motion picture starring Waylon Jennings.
That's him singing, isn't it?
That's him singing. I didn't even know he was around that early on, but I guess so.
Well, he was back there with Buddy Holly and those guys. Yeah.
So I remember the Buddy Holly part, but I didn't know he went country on that.
I thought he was from Luckenbach, Texas.
Well, he may be, but he was traveling around. As a matter of fact, when Buddy Holly crashed, Waylon Jennings was on the bus.
Wow.
He didn't take the flight.
Oh, wow.
He never got over that.
Wow. Chamber of Horrors, a psychological horror film. Ride the Whirlwind, a Western film with Jack Nicholson. He wrote and co-produced the film.
Hmm.
Way, Way Out, a flop by Jerry Lewis that was a comedy, but the French liked it. Return of the Magnificent Seven. It was a Western film. It was a sequel to the original.
Yep.
Georgie Girl with Lynn Redgrave and James Mason. We actually, the Seekers did that song. We actually had a Seekers album pick a while back.
Yep.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. That was a musical comedy featuring Buster Keaton in his last role. Texas Across the River, a comedy western with Dean Martin and Joey Bishop.
The Rat Pack.
And in TV, what happened?
TV, The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown first aired on CBS, and The Hollywood Squares had its first daytime debut.
Oh, wow. That went on for a while.
Yeah. I think it's still going on in some form or another.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Lynn was always a favorite of mine on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Center Square.
Now we're moving on to staff picks and who we got.
That would be me.
Oh, Bruce. Uh-oh. We're going to party some more.
Indeed we will.
I remember this song.
Do you?
A little Latin influence.
Definitely. Definitely. This is the Joe Cuba Sextet with their song Bang Bang.
Not Bang on the Gong?
Not Bang on the Gong.
Oh, well.
This song started the Boogaloo era in New York.
Mm.
Are you familiar with the Boogaloo era?
If you say I am.
I wasn't familiar with this. I looked this one up. It was kind of an interesting bit of trivia. So Gilberto Calderon was born in New York in 1931, but would be known as Joe Cuba. He was of Puerto Rican descent, and he was a conga drummer. And Boogaloo is a fusion of mambo and R&B.
Okay.
And there was an era for it from right about here, right about when Bang Bang comes out in 1966, until about 1969. And it started in New York. This song kind of propelled it out into the mainstream U.S. It didn't really hit it big on the mainstream charts. It hit the charts, but it was a big start to this kind of subgenre of music.
All I know is right now I needed a drink with an umbrella in it.
Don't you? So in 1966, the Palladium Ballroom in New York City lost its liquor license and closed. And that was the end of the dominance of mambo and the ascent of boogaloo.
Okay.
So the young folks... a lot of these mambo folks were actually teenagers at the time.
Yeah.
And they felt like the mainstream mambo folks were kind of keeping them down, keeping them out of the limelight. And so when mambo closed out, they started this genre. And it would last until, like I said, about 1969, 1970. And then it would be eclipsed by the salsa. So, and Joe Cuba would continue in the salsa as well.
I'm waiting for Ricky Ricardo to come out here, you know?
Yeah. So that's a short song, and it's all over right now. It's done. Or is it?
Wow.
And they come back out. I thought about this when I was listening to this. I was thinking about James Brown and your story about him falling down on the stage and then, you know, folks waving at him and, you know, him rising from his coma.
It's funny you were talking about the Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. So that reminded me there was a TV show in 1970 by Sid and Marty Krofft, and it was called The Boogaloos.
The Boogaloos. That's a little different.
Yeah.
It's not The Boogaloos. It's Boogaloo.
Okay. My dad called my brother Billy Boogaloo.
By the way, I got another a name that I had not heard before. They referred to a lot of this, the musicians, as New Yorkans.
Oh.
So kind of like a hybrid between New York and Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And the lyrics are nonsense. There's a combination of English and Spanish.
I thought it was a love song.
It very well could be.
Oh man! All right. Well, that was a good one. Thanks, Bruce. And I picked this one for my staff.
Oh,
pick.
Rob, what you got?
This is called "Black is Black."
Love the bass.
I know this song, too.
I thought I recognized the song by the title, but I wasn't sure. And when I played it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this song. Yeah, listen to that organ. It's got a nice build. I mean, it kind of starts off soft, and it gets going. I appreciate that. Black is black. You're listening to the Los Bravos. They're actually a Spanish rock band, which I had never heard of before, but I guess it's, I mean, you know, what we just heard was a little bit Latin feel and Hispanic in a way.
I have to say, I heard this song this week as well on 60s radio.
Mike Kogel is the lead singer you're listening to, and he's actually German. He's from Germany.
So they're Spanish, Spain, Spanish.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I probably can't pronounce all the names correctly, but the bass players, Miguel Vicens Danus, guitarist Tony Martinez, I got that, organist Manuel Fernandez, and drummer Pablo Sinlehi. And he had actually worked initially with Mike Kogel in the Spanish band Los Sonars. Anyway, this is a song about his girlfriend leaving, and he's talking about black is black, I want my baby back, it's gray since she went away.
It's a nice tight song though.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, is this before or after the Rolling Stones song Paint It Black?
Yeah, I would think this would have been before.
Yeah, I wonder if it had an influence.
It may have. But it's not a sad, depressing song.
It is a minor key type of a feel.
But it doesn't sound depressing.
Well, I think it's the beat. The fact that the beat is a little bit stronger. It's a faster tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one you should download. It's a fun song to have. I mean, of course, Wild Thing, if you don't have that one downloaded, you needed that too.
Right, so, yeah.
I mean, of course, Bang Bang was a good one too.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed it. When I heard it, I'm like, oh, I want to spend a little time about learning about that. So,
time for Brian to bring us his staff pick.
Ooh, listen to that organ.
You guys never remember this song, but do you know who sang it?
I do not know.
I have a question about that. I don't know.
Exactly. This is from The Questions, Mark, and the Mysterians. And you're going, what the heck does that mean? Guess what? Not only were we asking, but many people were asking, because these guys embraced the unknown, the mysterious.
I assume they were on a label somewhere and they didn't know what to put, and they wanted, oh, we're going to be And the Mysterians, but we know who's going to lead this crew. Oh.
Well, the song was actually written by the question mark of the lead singer, the band's frontman, who wanted to be anonymous. He is listed on the composer credits as Rudy Martinez. And according to SongFacts, at one point he referred to the individual band members only by three-letter names.
What a weird dude.
The whole thing is weird. But it basically says the band was known as XYZ.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the mystery helped market the group, and they always wore dark glasses to add to the intrigue.
You remember that I covered the Guess Who, American Woman, and that was kind of the idea behind naming that band, is Guess Who It Is. Like, they were creating this intrigue. Who is that?
But... question mark, and we're going to call him, I'm going to call him Rudy because I think it's silly to refer to him as a question mark, but Rudy tells us that the song was always called 96 Tears and never 69 Tears or Too Many Teardrops, or sometimes reported with other things. He says he insists that the number 96 has significant deep philosophical meaning. Have you ever heard that?
Nope.
But what? Refuses to tell us what it means.
96 Rock.
That's right.
But basically, if you listen to the song, he's talking about, I'm not going to cry 96 tears. You broke up with me, but I want to get back so I can break up with you, and you're going to cry 96 tears.
Revenge.
I want to hear you cry. I want to hear you cry.
Yeah, how much is that going to happen?
Yeah.
So basically, according to the SongFacts, when they came up with the song, question mark, Rudy says, I didn't want to use a title with a number in it because he thought it would be ripping off of the Rolling Stones, who had hit the 19th nervous breakdown. So he really did not want to use a number, but eventually they did. So.
All right, we're going to go all the way back around to Wayne.
Fellas, I give you Eddie Floyd and Knock on Wood. From that classic record label Stax. Stax was a record label that was that Southern Memphis soul. They released a lot of gospel, funk, blues recordings. In 1991, Atlantic, who had bought out Stax, issued a complete Stax Bolt singles. There was all A-sides. Go and buy that or go and download it. It was nine compact discs, but really,
wow!
If you like just some nice blues, some funky, some R&B, that's something I suggest you do it. Of course, you guys may know this a little bit more familiar of Amy Stewart's version of this. Do you not?
That was from the disco era. This is a lot slower than what I was thinking.
This was a disco song.
Yes, it was, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and it was a dance song. It was written by Eddie Floyd and Steve Cropper, and it was originally performed by Floyd, but it was covered by tons of artists. David Bowie was one. I was kind of surprised to see somebody do that. But this was initially written for Otis Redding because he was on Stax Records. And Floyd wrote material for all these guys. Wilson Pickett, Sam and Dave, John Taylor, Rufus Thomas. All these guys were being written for by Floyd.
Yeah.
But he did the song and they said, I think that's a hit. And it was.
You see, right. I can still hear the disco version in my head.
Yeah. I like this version better than the
disco.
I do too,
but I just say I grew up with the disco version.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so Knock on Wood, you guys know what that means.
Yeah, it's for good luck.
Good luck. Yes.
That's right.
What is it that when you knock on wood, it scares the spirits away or it gets the spirits or something?
I don't know why it's for good luck, but
there's one unique thing about this album or the song, I'm sorry, is when you listen to it, they give the knock and then they stop for a second and wood. And you'll hear the bump bump.
And they get the that snare drum part doing the knocking.
Yeah.
The backing house band was Booker T and the MGs.
Nice.
And Isaac Hayes played the piano on this.
Oh. Here we go. Yeah.
There you go.
This is more of a hit in the United States than in Britain, because in Britain there is not a vernacular of knock on wood. They have touch wood for good luck.
Touch wood. I thought that was something else that happened.
Ringo Starr said this is his favorite song ever.
Ever?
I'm going to ignore that. You're bad.
Brian's about to fall out on the floor over
Brian's
here.
Brian's laughing. He had to turn the mic away. Okay. We're going to try to move on. Stop. Both of you guys have me start rolling. All right, we'll use this time to use a instrumental or a lap track, and I think we got an instrumental. And Rob, who's the instrumental on this?
This is Summer Samba, so nice, and it is by Walter Wanderley. I didn't know this song when I saw the name of it, but I obviously recognize the music. And this has been used as kind of that grocery store background music and ads and movies and
elevator music.
Yeah,
I have a feeling I'm watching something in the grocery store. Somebody's walking up and down a grocery aisle.
Exactly.
I remember him doing this at the theater. You know, you'd go in and beforehand they would play music, and this is some of the music they would play.
Yeah, that fits too.
This was on the charts during this time.
Yeah. Other top hits of October 1966: Reach Out and I'll Be There, the Four Tops. Last Train to Clarksville, the Monkees. Now, that's someone we have not done yet. So we
they need to make an appearance, don't they?
Cherish, the Association. I think
we did that one.
A while back. Psychotic Reaction, Count Five. I don't recall that song, but I know if it comes on, I'll probably hear it if it's a top five.
That will make an appearance.
It will.
All right. Because I believe it's your pick.
Oh, it is? Oh.
That's the one I was going to do.
Then I have heard it before. I just don't remember it. In October of 1966, some music. Beach Boys released their influential single, Good Vibrations. Mm. The Jimi Hendrix Experience debuts in Normandy, France. And with the album The Supremes, a Go-Go becomes the first all-female group to reach number one on the Billboard 200 album charts. And speaking of albums, some of the albums that came out, the first album by the Monkees. Simon and Garfunkel, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme.
Oh, yeah.
Otis Redding had the complete and unbelievable, the Otis Redding Dictionary of Soul. The Kinks had Face to Face. Elvis Presley had a soundtrack called Spin Out, which probably had
to be a movie
song.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, obviously. The Hollies had Bus Stop. That was a good album. Did we do that song yet?
We did.
Okay. Cher had her own album out called Cher. Johnny Cash has Happiness Is You. And Waylon Jennings had his album out, Leaving Town. I wonder if Nashville Rebel was on that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was related.
There's a couple other groups. The Deep, The Seeds. Well, you've been listening to October 1966 and to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
We'll see you guys next time. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff? We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us. Check us out at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Wright Collin Financial, Stanton Electric, and Marbury Creative Group. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff?